Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We love talking about different things coming to our city, especially pop culture. Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con, March 1st through 2nd at the Nashville Fairgrounds. NashvilleCelebrityComicCon.com is where you can go to get your tickets. We'll actually be giving some tickets away here in just a few minutes, but one of the people you can see there is the fine actor Chris Sarandon, who is on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this today. I know you've probably done a lot of these functions before, but how fun is it for you to be able to connect with fans, especially obviously here in our city in Nashville?
Well, I'm thrilled to be coming down there. First of all, you know, I grew up in West Virginia, so my musical tastes range, you know, they're very wide, but country music's one of my bedrocks. I was in a rock and roll band when I was a kid. We played on the same program with Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, and the Foggy Mountain Boys.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm in the right place at the right time.
Oh, you know, no doubt you are. That is no pun intended. Music to our ears. That is very, very cool. I know. I had to. I want to start with one of my all-time favorite movies that you were actually a voice in. That I don't know if you thought it would become the cult classic that it became, but The Nightmare Before Christmas. Jack Skellington, like, it's still, you know, to this day, one of my all-time favorites. When you did that, did you think, like, hey, this is going to be a hit and turn into what it was?
You know, I don't think anybody, when they're in the middle of working on a project, thinks, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing, you know, since sliced bread, or that this is going to be a bomb. I mean, you can usually tell if it's going to be a bomb. But in this case, it was very clear that the artistry involved, the first of all, the conception of the characters, and then the realization of them by the animators, and the work that was done to create the movie, and then the finished product, which is just dazzling to look at, and Danny Elfman's music. I mean, it had the whole package. But to know that it was going to catch the public's imagination and become, I mean, in a way, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas has become Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see people putting up villages around the theme of Nightmare Before Christmas. Jack Skellington in their front yard, Oogie Boogie, etc. So, no is the answer. I never thought it would have this kind of a major sort of cultural effect all over the country, all over the world, for that matter.
We're talking to Chris Sarandon. He's coming to town for the National Celebrity Comic Con taking place next weekend here in town. When Chase told me, Chris, that you were coming on, I immediately went and watched Dog Day Afternoon again. You know, Chris, I mean, come on. I mean, you're part of one of the greatest movies of all time. And I always like asking this actors this. Did you have any idea when you're shooting that movie how classic it would become?
Actually, with that one, I did, because it was a wonderful kind of cross of a kind of interesting subject. It was a real event.
Right.
You know, this thing really happened. And also the combination of the talents involved. It was a great screenplay. The great Sidney Lumet directed it. He directed Serpico, any number of other great movies, Network. His participation, and also Pacino, John Cazale, Charlie Durning, the guy who plays the cop who is involved with the negotiations. I just had a feeling about this one. Yeah, I'll say yes. I thought this was going to be a great movie, and as it turned out, I think it got like 8 Academy Award nominations. Great screenplay, by the way, too. So, yeah, I think we all knew that we were working on something very special.
I tell kids who have born in the 2000s, go watch that movie because it is true cinema. All right, Chris, let me ask you about this other movie, because when it came out, I don't think a lot of us saw it, but when it hit cable, you know where I'm going with this, Child's Play has become a massively huge movie for a lot of us. That movie, again, theatrical release, it was okay. Hits cable, takes off. I just wonder how many people, when they go to these comic cons, come to see you because of that movie.
Mm-hmm. A good number of people. I mean, certainly, you know, the preponderant numbers are more for Nightmare and also for The Princess Bride. Which is a very popular movie as well, and has become a kind of cross-cultural thing. But Child's Play, it comes and goes. It also depends on the kind of Comic-Con it is. You know, if it's a horror genre Comic-Con, then yes, I get a lot of people for Child's Play. And obviously Nightmare and a movie called Fright Night as well.
Yes.
Chris Sarandon is with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con coming to our city March 1st through the 2nd at the Nashville Fairgrounds. Is there a movie or a TV show that somebody will come up to you and say, hey, I loved you in this, that you kind of take a step back and go, wait, really? That one?
Yes. Yes, in fact. Yeah. I did a movie a long time ago called The Sentinel, which was based on a very popular horror novel about a priest who lives in a brownstone in Brooklyn or someplace, and it's the gate to hell. Now, the reason that I did this movie was, at the time I had stars in my eyes. I was, I got star billing. I was making a fair amount of money, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll do this. And it was not a pleasant experience. But that's really the outlier in my career. I mean, I have to say, looking back on everything I've done, I can't think of anything else that I regret doing, literally. And I regret that one, but everything else I'm a lucky guy.
How much did you enjoy doing the guest star spots on TV shows? Like, whether it was ER or Orange is the New Black, I'm a Star Trek fan, you did Deep Space Nine. I mean, how fun was that to be able to do those guest spots?
Almost always it is great to do them because the cast of the shows, you know, who are in that kind of machine of doing 23 or 24 at the time, you know, it doesn't happen anymore, but 23 or 24 episodes at a time over a year, you know, they get worn out after a time. But they, generally speaking, are very helpful and welcoming to the guest stars who come on, and I've always had a great experience. I had a great experience with the ER cast, with the Law and Order cast. I did a string of shows with a show called The Practice. They were wonderful. There was a show called Judging Amy that I did an arc on, and that was a lovely experience. So, you know, actors, we take care of each other because we've all been through it. You know, we've all been through the same kind of, you know, coming on to a set and you don't know anybody. It's like the first day in school, in a way. but in this case, your classmates are friendly. They don't bully you. They don't give you a hard time.
We're talking to Chris Sarandon, the great actor here on the Chasing Big Joe show. All right, and so now my friends are texting me, and they're all Princess Bride questions. I had to get my Fright Night question out and my Child's Play because I love those movies. Chris, why do you think Princess Bride still resonates so popular, my Lord, 38 years later?
Well, first of all, great script. The great William Goldman, who wrote Marathon Man and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, this was his favorite screenplay of all time that he wrote in his life, and he was an Oscar winner. And it came from a very personal place with him. He walked into his daughter. He has two daughters. Had two daughters. He's passed away, and he walked into their room one day and said, "I want to write a movie for you girls. What do you want it to be about?" And one of them said, "Princess," and the other one said, "A bride." So he sat down and he wrote this movie, but it turned out to be very personal for him. First of all, because it was for his kids, and secondly, because the story itself is a story about love. But also it has his combination of romanticism and cynicism, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
That you know, the most perfect kiss in the world at the end of the movie, but at the same time, there's a line that goes, life isn't fair. Anybody who tells you that is selling something.
Oh.
And in between, there's great fun, great lines. Some of my favorite lines that I've ever uttered on screen have been in that movie, quotable, and you get involved in the plot, despite the fact that it's hard to describe. It's not that we make fun of the genre of the great adventure romantic movies, you know, of the past, the Errol Flynn movies and those. But at the same time, we're having fun with it. And so everything is taken by the characters in the movie very seriously. But the audience sits there and goes, oh, man, this is I'm having such a great time. This is so great. I remember this and I remember that. I get quoted lines from the movie all the time, constantly.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And I was going to say, hopefully I can meet you next weekend. The one line I'm going to tell you is, you're so cool, Brewster. Because I think, I'm telling you, Chris, we all watched that movie. We said that line for the next 6 months after that. And
it's just
a pop culture thing. You are so revered and so beloved today, because, hell, I think I know more about you than I did my own father, because I watched all these movies with you, right? I mean, it was so good. Yeah, it was so fun and so innocent.
And when you grow up with something, it makes a difference. You know, I do a podcast called Cooking by Heart because I grew up in a restaurant. So I talk to people about growing up with food, and those memories are indelible. The stuff that we experience when we're kids and when we're, you know, when we start in elementary school and we start watching movies and then we go, you know, we get more sophisticated and we start watching stuff that's a little more gnarly and interesting. It stays with us through our entire lives.
Well, Chris, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for doing this. We're looking forward to having you in Nashville at the fairgrounds March 1st through the 2nd for Celebrity Comic-Con. But thanks so much for doing this. This is awesome.
Oh, my pleasure, guys, and I hope we get a chance to meet.
Yes.
You guys take care.
Absolutely.
And hello to everybody in Nashville.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. Bye-bye.
Chris Sarandon, the fine actor, will be at Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con March 1st through the 2nd at the Nashville Fairgrounds. You can go to NashvilleCelebrityComicCon.com to get your tickets. But you know what, JoJo? We're going to give some tickets away right now.
Oh!
You got a four-pack of tickets to Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con at the fairgrounds Saturday, March 1st, Sunday, March 2nd. Chevy Chase will be there. Randy Quaid will be there. Billy Zabka, Martin Cove, Mick Foley, Mickey James, the Honky Tonk Man from wrestling, and then, of course, Chris Sarandon that we just talked to.
Back it up. Who?
The Honky Tonk Man.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be there.
Yes.
Caller number 515-737-1025.
I got something for our next segment. I want to know, because we're talking about The Princess Bride, just for one segment, what's the most quotable movie of all time?
Oh.
For our next segment, what's the most quotable movie that you think, there's no right or wrong answer, of all time?
That's a great one. 615-737-1025. You can win these tickets. Caller number 5, Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game.